The odds are long against any state adjusting its boundaries with any other state, but the vision of a larger Idaho taking over parts of Oregon and California appeared on election ballots in four Oregon counties this month. Two of them, Douglas County in our region and Wallowa County in far northeast Oregon, voted against entertaining the idea any further, but two voted to explore further, Jefferson and Union counties in eastern Oregon. Mike McCarter of Lapine is the founder of the Greater Idaho Concept. He joins us once again with an update on what, if anything, happens now. Hi, Mike. Welcome back.
Good morning, and thank you for having us on the program.
Sure. Talk about the process the counties took, or that you helped them with, I guess, to put the measures onto their ballots. What was involved there, and how much did you help them?
Well, it was a tough time during the COVID-19 restrictions to get petitions out, volunteers to gather signatures, and to get, a number of signatures to get it on ballots, because no fairs, no rodeos, no big events where normally people, acquire a large number of signatures and have contact with other folks to explain the issue. But in three of the counties, Wallowa, Union, and Jefferson, we made those numbers and got the petition on the ballot. In Douglas County, we came up 30 signatures short on the August 5th, on the date that everything had to be in, and approached the Douglas County commissioners and asked them, how they felt about it, and would they put an advisory vote out to the public, not supporting the issue or against the issue, but how do the citizens feel? Well, we lost by about 13% between the high, those for and those against.
Mm-hmm.
However, 26,000 people voted in favor of it. And considering the fact that we're a small grassroots movement, no corporate support, no political support, trying to get the information out in like I say, COVID times, plus the fact because right at the end of the requirement to get everything in for the ballot, there's no time to get information on the voter's guide.
Oh, sure.
So we're pretty excited about that, even though we, technically we lost in Douglas County.
Mm-hmm.
Wallowa County, we lost by 0.5%, 40 votes. But still, a lot of people voted for it. And again, I think it was an information issue more than anything else.
So 26,000 people voted yes. Is that across all four of the counties that voted during this election?
No, that was just in Douglas County.
That was just in Douglas, oh, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it was a big measure. I mean, it was like, I can't remember the exact total, but about 36,000 against, 24,000 plus. I mean, there was over 61,000 people that voted on that issue.
Hmm.
So there was some interest there and some activity.
Now, your own list shows that you were working with groups in 11 counties, got on the ballot in four. Was COVID the major reason, you think, the major obstacle in the other seven counties not getting on?
No, I think that was a big part of it. The other thing is that maybe if I look back at it a little bit, trying to take on that many counties at one time, spread is pretty thin. But In a county initiative petition process, we have 2 years. Our signatures are good for that length of time to get it on the ballot. So we're moving forward with these additional 11 counties now to get it on a potential May 2021 ballot.
So what happens in Jefferson and Union, for example? I mean, these are advisory votes, right? Just in essence, the people saying, hey, let's explore this further.
Well, in those two counties, the way that the initiative petition process has to go, according to the Secretary of State, it has to be legislative and not administrative. So in those two counties, and the one that didn't pass in Wallowa, those were issues, legislation that require the county commissioners to meet on a 2-time or 3-time-a-year basis to discuss Move Oregon's borders.
We are
so the two, Yeah, so the two counties that did pass, they have scheduled meetings in 2021 and then on to discuss the issue.
Mike McCarter is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder of the Greater Idaho Concept, which talks about taking in parts of Oregon and ultimately California as a part of Idaho. And we'll talk about why in just a moment. You have questions, you have comments, you have thoughts about this. Please join us on the Jefferson Exchange. The phone number is 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So let's back up to the original concept. We're talking about making Idaho bigger, including parts of Oregon all the way out to Coos Bay and California down to Red Bluff. To what end?
Basically, it's rural Oregon and parts of California in a phase two that are unhappy with the leadership in Oregon, the direction that it's taking, the cultural, social laws that are being passed, just everything to do with it. That don't match up with rural conservative feelings. And so our goal is to readjust that border so that we become part of Idaho, which their counties, their conservative values match much closer with rural counties in Oregon.
I was going to ask you about what kinds of things you're concerned about. I mean, what is so different about the things that get voted on in Oregon that don't in Idaho or vice versa? You talk about your phrase is cultural social laws. Can you give us some examples, Mike?
Well, you know, basically, if you're homeless or you want to use hard drugs with basically no penalties, rioters, illegals, because Idaho is not a sanctuary state. Basically, come to Oregon. We'll take care of you. And that's not the way that rural Oregon feels about those issues at all. Like I say, most of the people, or a lot of the people in rural Oregon are second, third, fourth, fifth generation property owners. They believe in their schools. They believe in their land. And, they believe in the law. So to let things go on like what we are witnessing in Portland is just so frustrating to sit and watch.
But the things you say you're witnessing in Portland, are you witnessing those in places like Lapine? Is it happening in Prineville and other rural parts of eastern Oregon far from Portland?
No, there's been some demonstration that's tried to take place. I think 8 or 9 people showed up in Lapine to demonstrate, and demonstration is okay. But the destruction of a beautiful city like Portland that continues on and on. I was raised outside of Portland. Portland holds a very favored spot in my heart. To see it take the abuse that it's taking right now. And when you stop and think about it, all the damages that are acquired there, somebody's got to pay for it. And it'll probably end up in our taxes, we're going to pay for it.
But your interest in Greater Idaho predates this year's round of demonstrations in Portland, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But, if you stop and think, Idaho is the 8th smallest tax burden state on its citizens, whereas Oregon ranks 33rd. Idaho ranks 3rd in regulatory freedom, according to the Cato Institute, and Oregon ranks 43rd. Cost of living is 39% higher in Oregon. With the fires and everything that went on, I grew up in the days when we were timber friendly. There was a lot of processing of our lumber around. It funded schools and things, and that's all gone by the wayside. And frankly, we don't feel that Oregon's leadership is taking care of the forest.
This is a discussion I've gotten into in the past with people from the State of Jefferson movement as well. When you start talking about federal land management, that don't necessarily change if you're still going to be in the United States, but just in a different state.
Yeah, but, the governor of Oregon is talking about new legislation or new actions to require property owners to do certain things on their property or to put certain ventilation systems in their homes to deal with smoke and issues like this. It's not all federal property, all federal timber and all, but the action of restraining people from cutting the timber down has hurt our forest. Our forests are getting choked with all kinds of underbrush and things like that, and that's creating a problem.
We have an email here from Heidi, who actually emailed, 12:47 in the morning. I live in Rhododendron, Oregon. I checked, that's in Clackamas County. Will we be a part of this change? I don't see Clackamas included here. She says, we left Seattle because we had a hard time with the liberal views. Please advise. We want to sign anything we can to support this movement. Thank you, Heidi.
Well, Rhododendron isn't in part of the counties that we're talking about, since it's up, you know, near Mount Hood. And I've talked to a lot of people. I was raised right outside of Portland. I spent my most of my career working in agriculture in the Willamette Valley. And there's a lot of people over there that are voicing the same thing. Can we be part of it? Can we join in with the movement? Someplace the state lines have to be drawn with it. And so we've suggested the state lines to run along the Deschutes River and then south of Eugene cut across to the coast.
You know, I don't know, Mike, if it happened in your lifetime. I honestly don't know how old you are. And I'm not asking either. But you know, there was a time when the Oregon legislature was pretty much the opposite of what it is now. It was like, 80% Republican and 20% Democrat.
Yes.
That changed over time. And so do you have any sense that if you just kind of stick it out and Republicans put up candidates that get more votes, that Oregon could change more to the liking of you and people who find this campaign attractive?
No, personally, I don't think that. And I did grow up I'm 73 years old. So the only time I didn't live in Oregon was during the Vietnam War when I was in the military. I watched the changes. As a young adult, we probably didn't pay attention to the elections that much. But, when I came back from the military, and of course the attitude wasn't good towards service people back then, I'm trying to think of the governor's name.
Tom McCall?
Come stay. Or come visit, but don't stay.
Right.
Was the attitude of people coming up, usually from California, to visit Oregon. I see a banding together of Western California, Western Oregon, and Western Washington in a blue wave, if you're going to put any term to it. Just because we're dealing with Move Oregon's border movement, trying to get this shift taken place, doesn't mean that we're not going to stop trying to get the mix changed in Oregon either.
You're not abandoning Oregon politics, but you're got that's part of the mix, you're saying.
Yes. I would love at some point to be able to speak to the legislature and encourage the bulk of the legislators out of the Willamette Valley to understand and to remember that whenever you bring a bill forward that's dealing with issues in urban things like what's going on in Portland or the Valley, your bills also affect the rest of Oregon. It's not just one part of it, but, when legislators are trying to take care of their constituents, they tend to focus on right where they're at. So, yeah.
I want to ask about one way in which you drew the map. You drew lines around Nevada, which certainly might have some similar feelings based on recent elections. Why not include some of the more conservative counties in that state?
Long-term thinking, it is phase three of our thinking on it, that they can't become part of Idaho unless they're related to us there, the border shift and whatnot, just like California. There's a conservative issue there because northern Nevada is being controlled by the vote out of Las Vegas and Reno.
Exactly my point.
Yeah. So, no, We tend to look at this regionally, but there seems to be some movements across the United States that are very similar to what we're doing, and it's a push between red areas and blue areas. Mm-hmm. In the blue areas, i.e., like Chicago and New York City and some of the bigger cities, end up controlling the vote in the entire state just because of the numbers.
Yeah, they got a lot of people there. Well, you know, we have about a minute left here, Mike, and I want to do acknowledge ultimate goals. I mean, there have been campaigns like this before. Very few have been successful. I mean, the last time that we got a chunk of a state carved off was in the middle of the Civil War with the creation mm-hmm. of West Virginia. So
Correct.
The odds are long. You have to recognize that.
Oh, yes, the odds are long, you know, but I tend to think back in my time when the Berlin Wall fell, you know, who would have imagined that would ever take place because it was such a strong system set up on it. But all of a sudden, within days, it went down. So I don't think that anything is impossible there. But if you don't give it a try, then how are you going to find out whether or not it'll work?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're at.
Couple seconds left here. Are there people in Idaho who aren't crazy about what they get politically from their state house? I mean, Boise's a bit more liberal than the rest of the state, for example.
Right. You know, there is some pushback there, and I think that's part of our responsibility is to explain that we don't want to move in. We don't want to change anything. We just want to join you and support that conservative movement that's in Idaho.
All right, Idaho, a more conservative state politically, at least by the elections, than Oregon. And that's what the discussion is here for the Move Oregon's Border campaign, to extend Idaho's border west and ultimately even a bit south to take in parts of Oregon and California down as far as Tehama County. Mike McCarter lives in Lapine. He is the creator of all this and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a great day.
You too. And once again, Douglas County voted no, Wallowa County voted no, Jefferson and Union County voted to explore the issue further.